Let's begin with this quote from 2 Kings 9:22. "How can there be peace," Jehu replied, "as long as all the idolatry and witchcraft of your mother abound?" So the name Jezebel means means to much surprise, actually, chaste, free from carnal connection. So who would have thought this type of name that the woman bore in the Bible and that we connote with Jezebel today would actually be the antithesis of the type of the woman that she was? And before I get going, I want you guys to recognize first, what are Jezebel's goals? Her goals are to defile you inwardly, outwardly, and in every way possible in order to take you away from the goals that you have set forth and any goodness of your heart that is a threat to their evil and to the advancement of their spirit. So Jezebels come in many forms, and there are so many elements of them. And some women exhibit the Jezebel spirit in some ways and not the others, and some exhibit all of it. And we're going to kind of look at it today, kind of a summary, and I'm going to use the passage from a couple passages from the Bible, obviously, today and today's Sunday sermon. I hope you guys receive it. And as always, whether or not you regard the Bible as anything valuable and you read it or are familiar with it, the bottom line is it has a lot to say about MGTOW. And I'm coming at you guys from that MGTOW niche and lens, as always. So that's what we're going to take in consideration today. I don't mention MGTOW a lot, but I think it's implied here. "And all they want to do is to find another host for their evil spirit to rest inside of and take up residence in." Guys, they're jealous of your joy. They want to strip you of your joy. They think your peace is immature, and they want to dash it. And so, welcome back, guys. Ultimately, it's a Sunday, and it's arguably my favorite day to speak on MGTOW Matters, as we connect MGTOW female nature and what we're called to be as men with stories from the Bible. And so I've gotten so many suggestions and referrals to discuss today's topic, which is Jezebel. So who's Jezebel? What does it mean when that word is used to refer to a woman? And how can we see the Jezebel in today's world? What does it mean for a MGTOW man as well? And for those of you who don't know who Jezebel was a princess, I believe, of a Phoenician king, Ethbaal, whose name was, you know, implies that he was a worshipful of Baal or Baal, or I forgot how it was pronounced, which is a common pagan deity during the Old Testament. And she, in her upbringing, was taught to regard the Israelites' God as kind of a god of the land, not the god of Baal as well. And it's interesting also, I found this out, and important to consider, the same biological offspring that generated Hannibal, you know, obviously the conqueror, the Carthaginians, was, you know, ruthless and unforgiving in his own right, also produced Jezebel. And I don't know too much about it, but I just know kind of from reference that, you know, that would be the case. She too was just as destructive, but women go about their trails of destruction in a far different way, destroying all that is in their path through deceit, through malice, through a complete disconnection from empathy, from sexual perversion and adulterous behavior. And this woman was infected, and many people believe that she was demon-possessed. And it also is important to recognize that the name Jezebel's spirit that infected Jezebel to overthrow the prophet Elijah, not necessarily Ahab, who was a king of northern Israel at the time, and also Jezebel's wife, was the same spirit that overtook the woman that ordered Herodias to kill John the Baptist. John the Baptist, according to the Bible, was filled with the prophetic Elijah spirit. So this has a lot of implications for the Bible, but today I want to make sure that I emphasize who the woman is and why it's important to understand the Jezebel spirit and the connections that we see today. So I had a conversation with the MGTOW brother last weekend and off and on throughout this week about the Jezebel spirit and the bipersonality disorders that we see in many women today. And the connections are definitely there. And the next time you read about Jezebel in the Bible, please do so with the new lens, the lens of the BPD woman. And for the references of Jezebel that we're going to be using today, it's predominantly in 1 and 2 Kings in the Old Testament, primarily focusing on 1 Kings 16, where she is introduced, and a few more later in the book, and once again in 2 Kings 9. So let's give a quick reading of some of the important verses that will help influence our understanding of the passage. So first, when Ahab becomes king of Israel, this is from 1 Kings 16, 29-34. So Ahab took over as the new king of Israel. He went on to reign for 27 years. Ahab was no slouch. And that's what you see with a lot of men that get hooked up with these Jezebel women. They are no slouch. They are great men, and they do great things. They get brought down by them. He conquered the second most amount of land of any king in Israel, besides none other than Solomon. And if that doesn't tell you something about the power of a woman over a man, that is not just good at business, maybe not just good at not just a good athlete. These mofos conquered all kinds of land. They defeated armies. They waged war. They were masterminds in their own right. But what do Solomon and Ahab both in common? They were felled by the power of a woman. One woman, many women, doesn't matter. You know, this is one instance where monogamy, which appears to be the case with Ahab, was also destructive. Whereas you see with with adulterous relationships or things like that, Delilah, Bathsheba were the cause of the destruction, and her word made them cower. She did things for them, not he for her, as you might expect. But that is a good exhibit of her power. And Ahab was not all that he could be, though. He wasn't all that it could be because of his wife, Jezebel. And in 1 Kings 16:30, it states, Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any other of those before him. And you know why? Because of her. And he not only considered trivial to the to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, son of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. And we see this right here. We see this Ahab and Jezebel relationship occur. And I know I took part in one myself because of a lack of self-confidence. And that's the first thing to pick up on, because we're not just going to focus on her. We're going to focus on Ahab. And there's a lot to be extrapolated and drawn out of this text and used to look at Ahab. And Ahab was now the king of Israel. And nothing else mattered because he had his wife. He had Jezebel. He likely had this very sexy, exotic woman that possessed power. And I could speak for myself. Nothing is more attractive to a man that is not strong in himself than a woman that is strong in herself. And the fact that Ahab found Jezebel alluring is a reflection of who Ahab was and the struggles he was forcing to claim his own self-confidence, the daily struggle it was for him to do that. And when we as men are weak in ourselves, we look outside of ourselves to find confidence. And that is the root of the decision to wed a woman like this. Ahab was like David, completely throwing all of his power, all of his control that he previously had, his position as a king, out of the window just to fill the void. And the next thing to look at, it goes both ways though. As Ahab needed Jezebel to fill the void that was in him, a Jezebel spirit also needs Ahab. And what is at play here is that a Jezebel spirit feeds for and roams the earth looking for an Ahab spirit. Man, how often is there that connection between a BPD girl and a nice guy? BPD girls almost always end up with a nice guy because of one thing. It creates a semblance of balance in their eyes. It's like craving a nutrient that you're lacking, except this time just eating it, i.e. getting that relationship, doesn't satisfy the craving and revitalize you. Instead, it kills you. And that's what we see with Ahab and Jezebel. A Jezebel spirit can only operate when there's an Ahab spirit to feed on, and they look for them. You don't see the Jezebel spirit feeding on the mean guy, just the Mr. Nice guy, because she can control him. She can make him do whatever she wants him to do because she has the sexual prowess and the self-confidence that he wished that he had himself. BPD women have been abandoned in their past as well. And I don't know the backstory, but for a Phoenician woman to be marrying a northern Israelite is a very strange thing off the bat for me. So I can't really understand why this happened and what drew Jezebel away from her land, but it could have been a potential rejection. And a woman that possesses the Jezebel spirit will try to control everything around them because of fear of being rejected. And the catch-22 for these types of people and type of women is that this controlling behavior drives people away, and it actually leads to their downfall, as it quite literally did for Jezebel as she was thrown to her death. And this type of woman, and I'm sure that you've dated them, as I have too, will use guilt to control you and your mind, and they use that rejection to fuel that guilt. They utilize guilt to keep you around and keep you in their grasp. They'll make statements like, you're just going to reject me like everyone else has. You don't want to be like them, do you? And understanding that you're more of an empath than they are, that they will leech onto you and see that you are more, quote-unquote, vulnerable and willing to go with them. So if you've dated a control freak, this woman is a Jezebel, most likely. This woman was potentially BPD, or at least has had elements of it. And this woman is so much more common today than once was the case because of the aggrandizing of the woman's ego and her value in society through the more perverse sexualization of women. And so this allows her to embrace her power more, I guess you could say, and to believe that she has more power than she should have. So men are totally brought to their knees through her beauty and left to fall prey like myself and Ahab. So this is always done at the expense of other people. I want you to recognize as well. This choosing to be with a Jezebel is always done at the expense of other people. And as a Jezebel, leeching off of that Ahab, they are both entering into narcissism, Ahab and Jezebel, and they are both putting up blinders to the rest of the world around them. And this is what being in this type of relationship does. So your relationships as a man are not in a vacuum like you might think. We think that when we are dating a Jezebel or have just gotten married to a Jezebel, that we can control the impact that they have on the lives of the loved ones that I have around me and the lives of the people in my workplace. This does not happen. You cannot keep them in vacuums. You cannot keep them separate. They are shared. And you can't also see the impact that they're having. We are blind to this fact and blind to the realization of what the impact is. So Jezebel was killing all the prophets of Israel, killing them all. And Ahab wasn't her goal or her focus. Ahab was instead a hypergamous tool. Ahab was simply a vessel for this type of woman, this type of spirit, and this just to gain access to kill what she wanted to kill as a person possessed. She was killing and was killing them to create chaos and to remove the cleanliness of heart and spirit from around her, because a lot of these women, they don't want that around them. If they are with you and you're trying to have integrity, as we saw with Job's wife, they want that to be gone. They want to destroy it. It's also not even attractive to them. Like, you're not going to have sex with this woman if you try to read the Bible or you try to practice what you believe is moral, or you try to stick to a value system, or you try to take care of your family or take care of your mother who's in the hospital. If you try to do these things, they all of a sudden the vagina dries up. And she was killing and was killing them to create chaos and remove cleanliness of heart, just as was done with the women that demanded John the Baptist's head. Okay, it's the same thing. And you have the power as a man to keep those around you safe, protected, and at peace. But if you bring in an infection or a virus in the form of a girlfriend or a wife that is Jezebel, this one will not only destroy you, but it's going to destroy what is around you. They're going to destroy both. And you too may become a demon, my friends. I know that I became a demon and that I became a new person when I was dating this woman with the Jezebel spirit. I became the host of a spirit that my first ex was carrying. She brought into our relationship a background of abuse and abandonment. And I was supposed to be that Ahab spirit for her, the first one that she could truly control. And slowly she took me from my faith and from going to church. I would go to church every weekend in a nearby town to college. I didn't have a car. I would still find a way to make the trip, get up early in the morning, and make it there. It was something I was committed to doing. But when I started dating her, it's my fault. This is all on me. This is not on her. I didn't recognize what was going on. She didn't want me to go. And in fact, going to church would probably have led to our breakup, which would have been a blessing at the time. But she found it unattractive. She felt that I was being controlled by something outside of that she had control over. And that's what a Jezebel spirit wants to take away from you as well. Other things in life that could come in the way of being that control force that she wants to be. And I would start sleeping in with her on the weekends. And I would go, sleeping on those Sunday mornings after late nights of partying. And she was my Jezebel. She was late in makeup. She was an exotic looking girl. She had no empathy for many people. And she had no remorse, was cold, and I was Ahab, and I became an enemy to my own kind, to the very people that would want to help me, which was Elijah. The people I met at church, my parents, my teammates, just as it happened to me, it happened to Ahab. And Elijah were those people. He was a prophet sent to save Israel, and the prophet that drove off 450 prophets of Baal came to Ahab in 1 Kings 20:21 and said, "I have found you because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, and I'm going to bring disaster on you. I will wipe out your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel." And never would have this fraction happened if Jezebel hadn't woven herself in and spread her spirit through Ahab. Ahab now was going to lose everything. He was going to lose his reign. He was going to lose his descendants. He was going to lose his integrity. He was going to lose his respect. It was all destroyed. It was all destroyed. It was all gone. And these women, they don't have empathy for this. They don't see that you're going to lose because they are controlled. They are so cold. And this is such a petty story between Ahab and Jezebel, what I'm going to read to you. But it involves another example of how Jezebel just has cut herself off. And I've dated two women with these tendencies to cut themselves off and to destroy the empathy that they have. And the women are sensitive beings. But traumas in many women's life, while it's not an excuse and it has to be addressed, has made them open to this Jezebel spirit. Because they believe that they have been wronged so many times, they felt justified in wronging others, regardless if it means murder. And in my case, it wasn't murder, but it was rather being selfish with the people's time, not having regard for people's health, not being able to relate to me when I was stressed out. So Ahab asked a man, this is the story I was referencing, Naboth, for his vineyard. So, okay, just a vineyard. It's not a big deal. Naboth, whatever, would not sell Ahab the vineyard. And just the fact that Ahab couldn't get the vineyard made Ahab depressed. So, you know, what the heck kind of pathetic behavior is this? So he has the second most land of any king in Israel, and he won't get a vineyard. So he just doesn't eat, he acts sullen, and is depressed. So what does Jezebel do? She sees that he's depressed. She writes a letter to the elders of the city that Naboth lived in, and wrote to them to frame Naboth as a man that has cursed God and king, just to get this vineyard, this one little vineyard for Ahab. So there's so many things wrong with this. So they go on, they stone Naboth to death. From 1 Kings 21:15, it states that as soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, "Get up and take possession of the vineyard that is that he refused to sell you. He is no longer alive but dead." Now the vineyard was Ahab's, but through this he was one step further into the clutches of Jezebel and engulfing her dark. And being engulfed by her dark spirit, because the more that you give into this, the more that you use her, the more that you let her take control and take power and make these decisions, the more that she's going to feel justified to have you in her hands, and the more you as an Ahab spirit are going to fall prey to this. And men, a letter from a woman was able to do this, a letter, not even a face-to-face conversation. The king of Israel could have said what he wanted. He could have sent 100 men in an instant to kill Naboth in cold blood, but he didn't do that either. Instead, he sulked. His crazy wife went instead, used her words, the seductress's most powerful asset, and got what Ahab couldn't assert himself and get even as a king. So the woman is as cunning as Satan. She can woo the minds and hearts of men, even the greatest men, even if it means death and killing, because she's okay with it. She will go about it because the spirit of Jezebel has enraptured her mind. And there is a sense of entitlement and oneness in the person that is not a healthy oneness. And it's a oneness that essentially means that nobody outside of her exists. And a narcissist can only see their reflection in the pool of water. And that narcissist sees nothing outside of and past their reflection, but the face before them. The world ends at the borderline of his or her face. And in the mind of that borderline, that's Jezebel. The death of another means nothing. A lot of you men that have gone through divorce, that you've been with a Jezebel probably, and is more common today. They're rife. There are millions of them. And the death of you as her husband only matters if there's more that she wanted to suck out of you. It's not that she said you're gone. And guys, the red pill response to Jezebel is Jehu, the man that's sent to destroy the house of Ahab. There's got to be a stop to this. What is it? So a Jezebel can destroy entire nations, as we've seen. And what is needed is a red pill response. So what is the red pill response? Because I'm not here, men, to bring up a message and not offer what can be done, because that's just pointless. To prevent a woman like this from overtaking you and pillaging all that you've known. So as I began the story, we'll end today's MGTOW Sunday sermon with the words from Jehu. You know, that was the opening quote I used. Who was once a commander within Ahab's army, calling out with these words, "How can there be peace as long as all the idolatry and witchcraft of your mother is around?" Idolatry and witchcraft. Wow. Okay. So Jehu, who was once the commander within Ahab's army, but seeing the debauchery and destruction of, you know, the man he was working under, seeing Ahab's line and his family, Ahab was dead at this point. He died. He was sent and anointed by Elijah to redeem Israel. So often the healer brings a sword, okay? And bringing that sword is often necessary in cutting a Jezebel off from your life because she's a parasite. The only thing you can do is destroy a parasite. You don't want to keep it around. You need to burn it. You need to cut it. And this was Jehu. Jehu killed not only the king of Israel after Ahab's death, Joram, but also the king of Judah, who is Ahaziah. Straight with an arrow between the soldiers of Joram for the first, and eventually killing Ahaziah in pursuit to a nearby city. That's kind of beside the point. But his fury continued all the way up to shut Jezebel up and put an end to all the misery. So Jehu hunted down Jezebel in Jezreel, where it says that she put on eye makeup and arranged herself to look good. Doesn't that still happen today? She says, "My last line of defense is that mascara." Okay? She knows it. She uses it. She knows her assets. looking to entice Jehu. And this man, Jehu, just had murdered two kings, mind you. And she still had the audacity to try and lure him in with her sexual appeal. This was like almost the same week, probably, that he had killed two kings. And she thought she still could get away with it. And so this is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. We're going to read it. He looked up at the window and called out, "Who is on my side? Who?" Two or three eunuchs looked down at him. "Throw her down," Jehu said. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and the horses that they trampled her underfoot. Jehu then went into her house or somewhere else and ate and drank. He then ordered that they take care of that cursed woman and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. So out of respect, but they went out to bury her, and all that was left was her skull, her feet, and her hands. So she then would be eaten by the dogs around, and all of her remains that were essentially defecated by those dogs. She literally became fecal matter. And men, that's all that this woman is. That's all that a Jezebel is fecal matter. She has no legacy for herself. And subsequently, if you have sex with this woman and that you lay down with her and that you go and you share something as special as that with her, there's going to be no legacy for you because she has infiltrated you. She's that virus in your body, and there will be nothing left of you, and there will be nothing left of her if you engage with this woman. And also, men, the number of women that are BPD, the number of women that exhibit Jezebel characteristics is growing, and there are over 10 million known cases. And the scary thing about BPD women, we're not going to look down at them here. This is not the place, not the video about that. We're not trying to do that. I'm trying to warn you guys that, you know, this is common. And the thing is, a lot of these BPD women are highly sexualized. They're promiscuous. They're often really hot, cutting in their words, and will quiet the reasoning in your mind with their beauty. And this is the reason that even those who don't know the backstory of Jezebel know of the term Jezebel. You don't know something that's been passed down for thousands of years if it's not important. And there was a reason for this, just like we know of Delilah and Eve in the mainstream society. And once again, it's an example of how, regardless if you view these Sunday sermons of the Bible as, you know, pertinent at all, there's a lot to say about MGTOW, human nature, and female nature. And women are the most easily influenced of the genders in regards to spiritual influence and societal influence. And why do you think that the Bible warns against female leaders? The sensitivity and proneness to follow as a female is far greater than that of a male. She can be influenced, but once she is influenced, the power she possesses with this demon inside of her, this energy, can overwhelm you, men. It can overwhelm the most powerful kings, and it can crush kingdoms as it did with Israel. And you are not a king. You are not an entire kingdom. Do you think that you can hold up to the cunningness of this serpent-filled woman that roams all across Western society today? I say no, because the average is almost becoming the Jezebel woman today. And women in today's society mirror Jezebel more and more. And when a Jezebel would be more rare in Bible times, it's not rare now. And what does this say? As always, I end my Sunday sermons with the line, "There is nothing new under the sun," because this is true. There truly is nothing new under the sun, nothing new at all, and only things from the past that can remind us and guide us to better, safer, and more free future as MGTOW men. That's all that it is. And so while I didn't talk a whole lot directly about MGTOW and MGTOW thought, I believe that most of it's implied here. So to further this conversation, please bring up the things that I did not touch on with Ahab and Jezebel. And also, please share your stories of interacting with that Jezebel spirit in your life and what that was like. And as always, brothers, soak up today, soak up your freedom, and have this Sunday. I hope that this video was received well. Let me know what topic you'd like me to touch on next for Sunday sermon. Man, pop that hoodie up. Get that prophet hoodie on. Don't put Jezebel's seductress hoodie on. Instead, toss some of Jezebel's body off the balcony today. Hoodies up, hoodies out.